But to say you are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And this is the word of the Lord.
Well, actually, can you keep reading?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Start right.
I thought you said
there. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay. And if, we're going all the way. Okay. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Aaron, for helping me out today. Appreciate that. Now, people of God, one thing I want to tell you, and this is maybe obvious to you, but there are a lot of resources available to you. If you have a smartphone, there's a Bible app that you can download that has multiple versions of the Bible. You can have it right on your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, it's also available on the internet, on your computer, on web pages like Bible Hub or Bible Gateway or Bible.com, and multiple Bible versions that you can choose from. And the reason I said that is because often when I prepare for a sermon, I'll read the passage in a number of different versions, the NIV, the NRSV, the New Living Translation. And one I've been reading a little bit lately is The Voice. Any of you ever heard of that translation, The Voice? It's maybe a newer translation, but it really speaks to me. Listen to these words from The Voice. If you're listening, and this is Jesus talking, if you're listening, here's my message. Keep loving your enemies, no matter what they do. Keep doing good to those who hate you. Keep speaking blessings on those who curse you. Keep praying for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, offer the other cheek too. If someone steals your coat, offer him your shirt too. If someone begs from you, give to him. If someone robs you of your valuables, don't demand them back. Think of the kindness you wish others would show to you. Do the same for them. Listen, what's the big deal if you love people who already love you? Even scoundrels do that much. So what if you do good to those who do good to you? Even scoundrels do that much. So what if you lend to people who are likely to repay you? Even scoundrels lead to scoundrels if they think they'll be fully repaid. If you want to be extraordinary, and I think that's what struck me about this passage, if you want to be extraordinary, love your enemies. Do good without restraint. Lend with abandon. Don't expect anything in return. Then you'll receive the truly great reward. You will be children of the Most High, for God is kind to the ungrateful and those who are wicked. So imitate God and be truly compassionate the way your Father is. Isn't that interesting, reading the Bible in different versions? Kind of gives you some different insights. Jesus calls out to anyone who's willing to listen, seek the love above. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless the ones that curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. What? It was hard enough for people to love their family and love their friends and neighbors, but love your enemies? For some, Jesus' challenging words went right in one ear and out the other. Their hearts were ice cold, like those large icicles that hang outside our front door. By the way, what a cold spell we're enduring. I'm glad that it's finally over and spring is here. Amen? Imagine how hard it must have been for Simon the Zealot, one of the 12 apostles. Now, Simon Peter gets all the attention, but there was two disciples named Simon. Simon Peter and Simon the Zealot. And Simon the Zealot was also a follower of Christ. He was part of a first century Jewish political movement known for their fervent opposition to Roman rule. Enemies in Jesus' day were not abstract, but real Roman soldiers. It didn't come naturally to display God's love to them. They were an occupying military force, Israel's adversary. Nevertheless, Jesus held the standards way up high. You must love your enemy. I imagine the early church reading Luke's gospel and pushing back a little bit. Who were the enemies of the early church? For the Gentile Christians, enemies were those who excluded them from social circles because they no longer worshiped the idols and they no longer visited the pagan temples. For the Jewish Christians, enemies were those who had kicked them out of the synagogue because some of the leaders in the synagogue did not believe that Jesus was truly the Messiah. As the NET Bible reveals in the text note, the phrase strike you on the cheek probably pictures public rejection, like the act that indicated expulsion from the synagogue. First century Christians felt isolated, excluded both socially and religiously. Could ice-cold hearts have the capacity to love those who had treated them so badly? Would they be willing and able to put hate aside in order to love people who hated them? Jesus challenges those willing to hear, love your enemies. And he doesn't just say it once, he says it twice. Even though some may resist, Jesus persists. Love your enemies. Do good unto them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Wow, it all sounds rather impossible to us, doesn't it? Are icy hearts able to love the undeserving? Sometimes our hearts are as cold as those snow piles that we have at the end of our sidewalks and driveways. It reminds me of the coloring song, a song Petrus sang years ago. It goes like this. Blue is the color of a heart so cold that will not bend when the story's told of the love of God for a sinful race, of the blood that flowed down Jesus' face, that can give us life, make us grow, that can keep our hearts from growing cold. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Love is exceedingly difficult. It's hard to love somebody. It's hard enough to love your friends and your family. But loving your enemy, loving your neighbor, early in the Heidelberg Catechism, in the sin marked guilt or human misery, there's this one question that explains the requirements of God's law. Christ teaches us that we need to love God above all and love our neighbor as ourselves. And then after those requirements, it says, can we keep the law of God perfectly? And there's a one-word response that has two letters. Do you know what it is? No. Period. And then the Heidelberg gives a little explanation. It says no, but why? Because I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. Wow. I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. Neighbors can be difficult to love, especially when they don't reciprocate your love or if you sense they're undeserving of your love. Years ago, when our kids were young, Rose and I lived in Zeeland, Michigan, and it wasn't far from Lake Michigan, which has the terrible lake effect snows. Have you ever heard about the lake effect snows? Yeah. Well, anyway, we had this shared driveway, and in between my house and our neighbor's house was this driveway that we shared, and our neighbor was the single mom named Christine with three teenage kids, and you can imagine she had a lot on her plate. Well, when the snow came down, I thought I would do the nice thing and shovel both my side of the driveway and hers. It felt like the right thing to do. And sometimes it was a lot of work because when you came to the end of the driveway, that's where the thick stuff was that the snowplow had kicked up. And I didn't have a lot of money back in those days. Well, now I'm a pastor, so I'm wealthy beyond compare. But back then, I didn't have a snowplow or a snowblower. I used a shovel, kind of old school. And as I was shoveling, I did not always have the right attitude. I was doing a loving thing, but I didn't have love necessarily in my head or in my heart because my neighbor never said thank you. And so she felt like that was ungrateful. Like, I don't know if I expected her to come over with a plate of cookies or something, or just when she drove by to roll down her window and say, thanks for shoveling out my drive. But it kind of burned me a little bit that she never said thank you. Perhaps she was too preoccupied with the difficulties of life to roll down her window and express some gratitude. On the inside, my heart was cold as ice and begrudging, maybe a little resentful. But on the outside, I forced myself to do something nice. And when I think about the word nice, I think back to my childhood growing up because my family, my mom and dad still live in Marion, New York. One thing we would do was gather around the television set and watch the show MASH. Did you ever watch MASH? And sometimes we would watch it three times on a Monday night, once out of Syracuse, once out of Rochester, and then the primetime one that was brand new. We really loved MASH. And I remember one time there was a quote from MASH from Major Frank Burns. Major Frank Burns spoke to the colonel and blurted out, "It's nice to be nice to the nice." And a few moments later, Major Margaret Houlihan said to him, "Nice to be nice to the nice?" Pushing back a little bit. And he said back to her, "I'm just trying to make conversation." She said, "Next time you try it, try keeping your mouth shut." Ouch. But isn't Major Burns correct? It's nice to be nice to the nice. It's so much easier to be nice to someone who is nice in return. But can we be nice to someone who's not nice back to us? Can we show love to somebody that hates our guts? Jesus emphasized that the Heavenly Father is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Is it possible for us to be kind to those who are ungrateful? Is it even realistic for us to display kindness to those who are wicked? Will we ever be able to love our enemy or adversary? What about our opponent or our nemesis? It just doesn't feel very realistic to love those who are hostile and disagreeable. Jesus' words to me feel more ideal than real. It's kind of like pie in the sky. He demands for a higher love, which simply feels beyond our reach. But while we're striving to reach up, Jesus reaches down. In fact, Jesus comes down and he walks on our soil. He walks among us. Jesus brought the gospel, prompting willing listeners to seek the love from above. He brought the gospel to the people. And the gospel is kind of like, if you flip the page here, the gospel is like a warm fire where people can gather around and establish community, a community of love and caring that doesn't depend on other people, but depends on the love that's shared, that warms up our ice-cold hearts. Even though Jesus presents good news, it's not easy news. Did you catch that? Jesus' news that he gives us, especially love your enemies, that may be good news for some, but it's not easy for us, is it? It's not easy to love your enemies. But you know what? He believes in you. He wants to challenge you. He sees something in you that can strive for something better. Not the easy road, but the difficult road, the challenging road of the gospel. Jesus says to us, I've not only saved you from your sins, but also saved you to a new way of life. You're no longer sinners, but saints. And saints strive to love the enemy. The point is driven home in the three statements Jesus made in verses 32 through 34. Verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them back. Verse 33, if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Verse 34, if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid. Now, what is Jesus saying in these three examples? I think what he's saying is that there's two standards going on here. There's kind of a minimum standard, and there's the gold standard. He's saying this minimum standard is available for everyone, sinners and saints. Love those who love you back. Do good those who are good to you. You know, just kind of a fair exchange. And that kind of makes sense, right? But Jesus, he not only challenges the saints to a higher standard, he goes up here. He says, reach not down low, but reach above and reach for that love from above. Reach for a love that doesn't expect anything back. Love your enemies. Not very easy to do. It's not just acceptable, but it's the ultimate gold standard. What is the gold standard? Jesus reveals the motivation in verses 35 to 36. You are children of the Heavenly Father. You are sons and daughters of the King. And what do we say about that? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. In other words, resemble your family members. Resemble your Father in heaven. If he's merciful, you're merciful. If he loves the enemy, you love the enemy. If he says do something nice to someone that doesn't say thank you, do something nice to someone who's ungrateful. God is kind to both the ungrateful and the wicked. So be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. The same mercy that belongs to the Father must also belong to his spiritual children. Therefore, the recipients of mercy must respond in kind by extending God's mercy to others. And I'll be honest with you, it all sounds quite impossible, doesn't it? Even though we recognize the motivation, it's still tough to grasp this love from above. It seems kind of like it's beyond my reach. Can we accomplish this on our own? The short answer is that same word you said to me earlier. What was it again? No. We really don't possess the emotional or the spiritual resources. But with God's strength and support, the short answer, yes, God helping me. Realize this. What is impossible for us is possible for God. And Jesus provides one key resource in verse 28, prayer. It says, bless those who curse you and pray. Pray for those who mistreat you. And do you know why? It's hard to hate someone who you pray about. Prayer warms your heart like a cozy fireplace on a winter day. Prayer transforms the person praying so that his or her icy heart melts to embrace God's outlook on humanity. As Scripture emphasizes, and I said earlier, God is love, and his love extends to both the ungrateful and those that don't deserve it. So the Father's perspective becomes ours. Love your enemy. Impressive. If that isn't enough, Luke wrote not one but two books in the New Testament. And I'm sure you know this, but Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, but also the book of Acts. And sometimes I wish that in the Bible those were back to back, because then the one would flow directly into the other. As it stands now, John is right there in between. But if Luke and Acts could be right next door to each other, we would see that it's part one and part two of the story. Part one is the story of Jesus. Part two is the story of the early church. And when Jesus ascended to be with the Father, he said to his disciples, "I promise you that I will give you the Holy Spirit." And he promised that in Acts chapter 1, and the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2 in power and empowered the disciples to spread the gospel, but also empowered them to love people that were exceedingly difficult to love. That same Spirit that empowered the early church to love the enemy can empower us to love those that don't love us back. The Holy Spirit gives us power to love anybody, family, friend, neighbor, even our enemy. Now, in studying for this sermon, I discovered a story that's too good to pass up. It was shared by Chelsea Harmon in her commentary on this passage of Scripture. She shares a story about St. Francis of Assisi, who is well known for his love of nature and the animals, as well as his oft-quoted phrase, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Francis took the sort of life Jesus describes here in Luke 6 very seriously. In fact, he used to get in trouble with how quickly he gave stuff away. He was willing to give his clothes to others, and so the head of Francis's monastery was fed up. It was costing too much coin. So he said to Francis, "Stop giving away your coat." Francis found a loophole around his vow of obedience. When he met someone who needed a coat, he'd say, "I can't give you my coat, but you could take it from me." Do you find that story inspirational? Some of you may find it difficult or even impossible to love the unlovable. But I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and reflect, who is my enemy? Who is my adversary? Does someone come to mind? If you're able, pray for that person. If you're willing, repeat this prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the God of mercy. Help me to be merciful. You are the God of love. Help me to love my enemy. Melt away my heart's hatred. Warm my heart with your love. Fill me with your Spirit to embrace your higher love, to make possible the impossible. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people together say, let's pray. Lord, we've been doing a lot of praying. That's because we are weak and you are strong, and we need your help to do things that are difficult, to love those that are difficult to love the ungrateful, to love the undeserving, and to love the enemy. So help each one of us, myself included, to love those that are challenging for us to love, for we need your help, we need your spirit, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and profess the faith that we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed.